Good to see you, and for all of you joining us still online, we're so glad that you are with us as well, but just great to be together today. How many of you have a favorite song? Okay. Some of you? I know I do. In fact, right now, mine changes, but right now my favorite, at least worship song, is Raise a Hallelujah that we sing. Yeah, I love that song. And today we are picking up in our series in the book of Psalms that we are calling God's Playlist for Our Lives, because that's really what the book of Psalms is 150 psalms that God has ordained to be written. And we are going to be looking today at one that is a favorite of many. It's such a powerful psalm. It's Psalm 23. So if you would turn there, please, to Psalm 23. And I'm going to read through the whole chapter here, and then we'll dive into it this morning. So let's go ahead. And Father, we love you. We thank you, God, for just how much you love us. And we thank you that we have in you a great shepherd. In Jesus' name, amen. Psalm 23, verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. And you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. You know, there's a scene in Matthew chapter 9 that I found myself just thinking a lot about this week. In this scene, we see Jesus where he comes upon a multitude of people. And it says when he sees the multitude that he's not frustrated by them. He's not annoyed with them. But it says when he sees this multitude that he has compassion upon them. His heart literally, it breaks, because it says that he sees them as being like sheep without a shepherd. And he so desperately wanted to be their shepherd. And I can't help but think that that is also the heart of our Lord right now as he looks upon our world today. That his heart is one of compassion. As he sees our world today broken, frustrated, and even divided by this pandemic, the coronavirus, he sees the chaos, the hurt, the violence, the despair, the anger that has been, you know, going on over the injustices that have been done to minorities, and now the reaction that we're seeing to that. And I think as he looks upon our world today, he thinks that his heart is, these people need a shepherd. And he desperately wants to be their shepherd. You see, Jesus knows that he is the answer. Now, what's interesting about the Bible is that the one animal that the Bible compares us to the most, or let me put that another way, the one animal that God in the Bible compares you and I to the most are sheep. And what's interesting about that is that sheep need a shepherd. You know, sheep are dumb. I mean, sometimes I think, Lord, how come you can compare us to some creature that you made that, you know, was like more self-sufficient and smart, like a dolphin, you know? I mean, dolphins are like, they're so sufficient, they're so smart. But no, he says, because you're not like that. You guys, you are like sheep. Sheep left to themselves will wander into harm's way. Sheep left to themselves will wander away from safety and provision. In fact, a whole herd of sheep has been known to follow one sheep right off a cliff to their doom. Because sheep are dumb. But sheep are also helpless. They can't find food on their own. Sheep do not naturally rest. They need help in order to lay down. And because of the inability of sheep to take care of themselves, shepherds had to live with the sheep 24/7. There always had to be somebody on call. Because the task of caring for the sheep was unending. It was day and night. It was summer and winter. It was in fair and foul weather. And they labored to nourish and to guide and to protect the sheep. And I think in reading that and just thinking about that, you think, man, who in their right mind would want to be a shepherd, right? But guess what? Our Lord has chosen. He has volunteered to be our shepherd. And that's the sentiment that David here in Psalm 23, he's celebrating this. David declares there in verse 1, the Lord is my shepherd. Everybody say my. You know, that's the sweetest word in this passage. David doesn't say the Lord is a shepherd. He doesn't say that he's, you know, the shepherd of the multitude of people and he leads them. No, it's personal. He says the Lord is my shepherd. You see, Jesus doesn't just see the multitude. He sees the individuals in the multitude. He seeks to care for me, for you. To lead you, to lead me, to preserve us. He watches over each one of us. And I want you to also notice that the words are in the present tense. He doesn't say, the Lord was the shepherd, or the Lord will be my shepherd, but he says, the Lord is my shepherd. And then notice the next line. Because the Lord is my shepherd, David says, I shall not want. The idea there is, I'm satisfied. The idea there is I'm not lacking in anything. And Psalm 23 is such a rich song that we're going to actually spend the next 2 weeks diving into it and unpacking it. I don't want to rush through this because, one, you know, our services are a little bit shorter right now. And so we're just going to kind of camp on a couple of things this morning. But here's the outline for today and next week. We're going to see, because the Lord is our shepherd, that we're satisfied, that we're not lacking in these ways. I shall not lack rest. I shall not lack life. I shall not lack guidance. I shall not lack safety. I shall not lack provision. And I shall not lack hope. We're going to look at the first three today and the next three next week. But David says, because the Lord is my shepherd, number one, I shall not lack rest. Notice how he puts it. He makes me to lie down in green pastures and he leads me beside the still water. We're going to spend the most of our time today on this first point. Now, there's a pastor and author by the name of Philip Keller. And Philip Keller's an interesting guy because prior to becoming a pastor, he spent 8 years working as a shepherd. And from that insight that he had, he has written a masterpiece of a book. If you want some good summer reading for this year or for this summer, I encourage you, get this book. It'll just absolutely encourage you, bless you, and grow you in your relationship with the Lord. It's called A Shepherd Looks at Psalm 23. It is an incredible book that gives great insight into sheep and shepherds. And one of the things that Keller points out is that sheep do not lie down easily. Keller says that it's almost impossible for them to be made to lie down unless four requirements are met. You see, because sheep are timid animals, they will refuse to lie down unless they are free, number one, of fear. They have to be free of fear. Sheep will not lie down if they are experiencing, number two, friction from other sheep. They must be free of friction. Sheep will not lie down and rest if they are being harassed by flies. They need to be free of flies. And finally, sheep will not lie down if they are in need of finding food. They will not lie down. They will not rest, number four, if they are famished. So for sheep to lie down and rest, they must be free of these four things: fear, friction, flies, and famine. Now I ask you this question. Is that not like us? I mean, don't you find it hard to rest in the Lord when you are experiencing fear in your life? or you are experiencing friction with somebody else, or you are experiencing, you know, outside influences that are just distracting you and harassing you, or if you find yourself in any way just in need of just, you're feeling your needs are not being met. I want to look at this today. I want us to consider this today, and let's start with fear. When you are afraid of something, it's hard to rest, isn't it? You know, I've been to Africa probably 12 times now. And every single time I go on a mission trip to Africa, where we stay, they always have in the place where we sleep these nets that come down over the bed. And they kind of tuck, you know, underneath the bed. And the nets are there to keep you, you know, keep the bugs and the snakes and the critters from crawling on you in the middle of the night. And there's a lot of bugs and a lot of snakes and a lot of critters, you know, there in Africa. And in a lot of places where you stay, there's actually not glass on the windows. They're just open. And so, you know, you're glad when you see that net. Well, the last time I was there in Uganda, I was teaching at a pastor's conference, and it was kind of out of the city, and it was out at this, you know, place. And we go into the place where we're going to be staying, where I'm going to be sleeping, and I notice there's no nets. There's no net hanging down. And I'm like, where's the nets? You know, how come there's no net? And the guy I was with, I call him the Indiana Jones of Africa, Craig Lindquist. I mean, he's been bitten by everything and hasn't died. And he's just like, oh, you'll be okay. Don't worry about it. And I got to tell you, that night I had the hardest time sleeping. Because I'm thinking about, you know, the big bugs that I'm seeing outside and the snakes and the mosquitoes. And I'm thinking, you know, man, and it's so hot. It's like you don't want to wear long sleeve pajamas and long sleeve shirts. And, you know, so the whole night I'd like start to fall asleep. I would wake up because I thought for sure something was crawling on me, you know. Hard to rest when you have fear. And in the same way, in a spiritual sense, we are called to rest in Jesus. To rest in His love and to rest in His care for us. But life causes us to worry. Life can cause us to get stressed out where we stop resting in Jesus. It was Philip Keller who said this, that fear is the greatest enemy of our faith. And maybe you've experienced that over the last few months. Maybe there's some of you here in the room that you were afraid, am I going to get the virus? And what happens if I do? With all the unemployment, all the people that have been laid off and furloughed, maybe you've been worrying. Maybe there's been a fear, you know, am I going to make it financially? Am I going to be able to care for my family? Those are the normal emotions that we go through in life, that we find ourselves just, you know, being ravished in a sense by fear. But David wants us to know, because Jesus is our shepherd, we don't have any reason to fear. In fact, when this whole pandemic thing started, one of the first, you know, studies that we did was on this verse in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7, where the Lord says that He has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind. And this is what David is wanting us to understand. Because of our shepherd, because that Jesus is our shepherd, because of His presence and promises that He has given to us, if I believe those, I can move out of fear, and that fear can be replaced by strength. It can be replaced by confidence. It can be replaced by a soundness of mind. Here's a promise that the Lord gives us. Isaiah 26:3, the Lord says, "You will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you." You see, peace is the absence of fear. And when our mind is on our good shepherd, when it's on the Lord, He replaces that fear with His peace. In fact, Jesus promised this. He said, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." So as we're trusting in Him, as we're leaning into our good shepherd, it's His peace that replaces our fear. So in order for sheep to rest, they need to be free of fear. Number two, they need to be free of friction. You see, when one sheep knows that there's another sheep in the fold that's kind of out to get them, it's hard for them to rest. In fact, it's hard for the whole flock to rest when they know that there's tension and conflict, you know, amongst the flock. And in the same way, don't you find it that when you are at odds with someone, when you're at odds with another brother or sister, when you're at odds with somebody in your family, that it's hard to rest? When there's always tension, when you always feel like you're walking on eggshells, don't you find that it's hard to rest? It's like there's a consternation that is there in your soul, and it affects everything. Well, again, the psalmist, because Jesus is our shepherd, he wants us to know that we can be free from friction. Why? Well, in Romans chapter 5, verse 5, we're told this. That the love of Jesus Christ, the love of God, has been poured into our souls by the presence of God's Holy Spirit. Isn't that amazing? What that means is that the presence of God's Spirit in your life, in my life, because the Holy Spirit indwells us, gives us a supernatural, let me say that again, a supernatural ability to love the unlovable. It's a supernatural ability that the Lord gives us to love people who are hard to love. To forgive people that we naturally could never find ourselves forgiving. Because it boils down to what Paul said in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32, when he says, be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. So it's the reality, it's the perspective that, hey, the Lord has forgiven me, he's poured his love into me, so I now can forgive those who hurt me. I love the way Paul the Apostle puts it in Romans chapter 12, verse 18, when he says, if it's possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. I love that Paul says, if it's possible, as much as it depends upon you. The idea is there, it's not always possible. But you do your part. You be the one that you're not holding grudges. You forgive because you've been forgiven. You love because Jesus loves you so much. And if somebody else can't get over the grudge, that's on them. But your conscience can be free. So you can be free of fear, free of friction. And number three, in order for sheep to rest, they need to be free of flies or outside influences. Show of hands. Anybody here want to admit, anybody here like flies? I'm so glad none of you raised your hand. Flies are pests. Do you know flies live on a liquid diet? Some of you are thinking, oh, that's great. I don't have to worry about them landing on my food anymore. Actually, you do. And I don't mean to gross you out, but this is how flies eat. They don't have any teeth. So they land on your burger, and they actually vomit on your burger. And the juices, the acid from their vomit soaks into your burger, and then they don't have any teeth, but they have a tongue that's like a straw, so they suck up the food that way. That's how flies eat, okay? I know, I just grossed all of you out, and you're going to be like, they're disgusting. It's even worse than that, but I'm not going to go into it, and you don't do it right now, but if you are interested, you can go to this website, 10 Incredible Facts About Flies. Just check it out on your own if you really want to get grossed out, all right? But flies are disgusting. They're annoying. They're always buzzing around your head. Well, here's what's interesting. The Bible calls Satan Beelzebub, which means the Lord of the Flies. Now, does that mean that he's in control over those critters? Is that why, you know, God calls him that? No, but it's really the name's taken from a Canaanite god. But I think the Lord gives him that title in Scripture because the characteristics of Satan are like flies in this way. Flies only want to take. They only seek to take. And that's Satan. The Bible calls him a thief and a robber who comes to kill, to rob, and destroy. Flies are annoying, and Satan is the master of chaos, disunity, separation. He is the master of infiltrating lies and hatred that in anything that is opposed to the heart of God. He loves to stir up strife in people's hearts and in situations. And the same way that flies don't easily go away, it's like they're constant. So too is the battle that we find ourselves in. The battle that we find ourselves in is constant. It's daily. But here's the thing. We can rest in our good shepherd. Because we're told this in Scripture. In 1 John chapter 4, verse 4, you are of God, little children, and have overcome them because he who is in you is greater than he that is in the world. Let me hear you say greater. Jesus is greater than our enemy. Jesus has already won the battle. He has already won the war. And so because of that, you and I, we can be victorious over Beelzebub because Jesus has already defeated him. That's why Paul said in Romans chapter 8, verse 31, that we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. So we can be free of friction. And finally, number four, sheep have a hard time resting when they are hungry. For sheep to rest, they have to be free of famine. And again, I think we can see how this relates to us as well. It's hard for us to rest when our needs are not being met. We find ourselves stressing out and thinking about, you know, how am I going to pay my bills? How am I going to take care of my family? What if this happens? That's what happens a lot of times when we find ourselves in a place where things are changing. We start playing the what if game. You know, the what if game doesn't do any good. You know what I mean by the what-if game? It's like, well, what if this happens? What if that happens? What if, you know, some people, they can go all day long and get themselves all worked up. And James, he put it this way. He says, hey, worrying does not add one cubit to your stature. That's another way of saying it doesn't do any good for you. It only messes you up. It only gets you freaked out. But we have a good shepherd, and because of that, we don't need to worry about our needs, because Paul the Apostle said in Philippians chapter 4, verse 19, and my God shall supply all of your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Now, I want you to notice that he says all of your needs, not your wants. It's important that we recognize that, because oftentimes we get our wants and our needs confused. The Lord says that he will supply. He's going to take care of us. He's going to, Proverbs 10 verse 3 says, the Lord will not allow the righteous to go hungry. And our shepherd wants us to rest and to be confident and to be satisfied in his promise that he will take care of us. But I also think there's a spiritual aspect to this. This idea of him taking care of us, of him making us lie down in green pastures. And it was Charles Spurgeon, that great preacher of old, who called the green pastures, he referred to that as the wealth that comes, that's available to us in the Word of God. That our souls would never, ever need to be famished because of God's word that's available to us. Remember when Jesus was being tempted by the devil out in the wilderness, and the devil comes to him and he sees this little limestone rock that looks like a beautiful little piece of bread. And he says, why don't you turn that into some bread? Turn that stone into bread. And remember what Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Spurgeon called this fit food for our souls. That's what the Word of God is. A lot of diets that you know, out there today. A lot of diets. Here's how you should eat. And here's how you shouldn't eat this, shouldn't eat that. Hey, there's one diet spiritually that is foolproof. It will strengthen you, take care of you. It'll make you as healthy as you can be. And it's the Word of God. And we get to feast upon the truths and the promises that are found in God's Word. And so we should never, ever be spiritually malnourished. When David said, he leads me beside the still waters, the idea in Scripture behind waters is referring to the ministry of the Holy Spirit in our hearts. As the Holy Spirit can, you know, comes to us and he ministers to us through the word of God. And our shepherd seeks to lead us into those places. This is the idea that Jesus, your shepherd, wants to lead you, your soul, into those places of refreshment and rejuvenation. But here's the thing. In this passage, the word lead, he leads me beside the still waters. It literally, you might want to write this down, he leads me gently. And what's so awesome about that is that that's how the shepherds would lead the sheep. You go to first century Israel, you never ever see shepherds driving the sheep. In fact, if you ever saw sheep being driven, it wasn't by a shepherd, but it was by the butchers. The butchers were the only ones that would drive the sheep because they were driving them to the slaughterhouse. Jesus is the good shepherd who seeks to lead us gently, to take care of us. He goes ahead of us. That's how shepherds lead. They go ahead. And the book of Hebrews says that Jesus is the author and the finisher of our faith. He began it. He's with us all the way through it. And he's going to be there in the end to see us through. He leads us into the place where we can rest because of his finished work. That on the cross, he declared, "It's finished." That he did it for us so that we can rest in him. And he seeks to lead us by his Holy Spirit in our hearts, which leads us to the second point that we want to look at briefly here. We shall not lack rest. And number two, we shall not lack life. Notice how David puts it. He restores my soul. And one of the things that Keller points out in his book is that how sheep can very easily lose their footing. And they don't have the best center of gravity. And so a sheep can end up on its back. It's what they call being cast. And it's stuck on its back. And it can't roll itself back over. It can't get back up on its feet. And if it stays in that position too long, the gases build up inside of the body. It begins to cut off circulation to their legs. And they can die in that place if they're there too long. And sometimes in the Christian life, we fall down. We end up flat on our backs. But our good shepherd comes to be the lifter of our heads. Psalm 3 declares, "But you, O Lord, are a shield for me, my glory, and the one who lifts my head." When we fall, our shepherd is there to pick us back up again. In Romans chapter 8, verse 1, it says, "There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus." He doesn't seek to condemn us when we fall, but he seeks to restore us and forgive us as we look to him. That's our shepherd. Proverbs 24:16 says, "For a righteous man may fall 7 times, but he rises again." And part of the reason for that is because our good shepherd helps us up. And he doesn't just help us up, but he also seeks, this is the third thing, our third point today, is he seeks to lead us in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. He seeks to lead us and show us, hey, here's how you're supposed to walk. Psalm 119 says in verse 9, "How can a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to your word." Hey, I'm here for you, our shepherd would say. I love you. I put out for you. Here's how you should walk. Psalm 119, verse 11 says, "Your word have I hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you." It's as we set our mind and our hearts upon him, as we give ourselves to his word, that he seeks to lead us daily in how we should live. I love this one. Psalm 119, verse 105. I'll end on this. "Your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." And what I love about that verse is that's how the Lord leads us. Don't miss this. He seeks to lead you and I step by step. So often we want to see the big picture, right? We want to know, hey, where's this going, Lord? What are you doing? Where are we going to be in 6 months? And he says, that's not how I'm leading you. It's step by step. It's like walking in the dark with a lamp where you can see a foot or two in front of you. That's how the Lord leads us, because he wants us to trust in him. And he wants us to stay close to him. He wants us to be dependent upon him, because he knows, like I said before, sheep are dumb. And he knows how desperately we need him. So he's given us everything that we need to rest in him. He's given us everything we need for our provision. He's given us everything that we need to be restored. And he's given us everything that we need in order to be led. The question for all of us to answer is this, though. Do you want to be led? Do you want to follow? You see, that's the problem with the world today. A lot of people don't want to follow. They want to lean to their own understanding. They want to rest in their own mindset. They want a kingdom without a king. And it just doesn't work that way. But man, when we yield ourselves to our good shepherd, he promises, I'm going to lead you. I'm going to care for you. I'm going to be with you. And that's his heart toward all of us in this room and all of you who are watching online. The question, again, is will we follow? Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your abundant love for us. We thank you, Lord, for your incredible care. We thank you that we have in you a good shepherd who laid down his life for the sheep. And Lord, we just so desperately long to be led by you. And so, Lord, I pray today for my brothers and sisters. I pray for everybody who is watching online right now. That, Lord, we would come to that place in our hearts where we would seek to yield ourselves to you right now in this moment. All the crazy stuff going on in our world, that we would put ourselves under Jesus, our King, Lee Shepherd. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.